שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי
בעל הסולם, עמוד 505, את המאמר We are reading the article Inheritance of the Land. It's from A Sage's Fruit Essays, page 241. You can ask questions at Kabda.tv, page 241 in the Essays by בעל הסולם, Inheritance of the Land. Well, and we have to understand that this is from a manuscript. It's not an article ready to be printed. Didn't go through the changes, the editing, and the polishing. So we'll have to try to see it. Sometimes you feel the author better this way, and the internality of the words. Please. Inheritance of the land. Israel will not return to their land until they are all in one bundle. Again, we're not talking politics or geography or this world here. We're talking only about a spiritual, internal state we have to attain. So Israel are the ones who are aimed, Yeshakel, will not return to their land, this desire. A desire entirely directed to the Creator until they are all in one bundle. Meaning, reaching a desire in which the Creator is clothed, which is called the land of Israel. A desire directed to the Creator directly. He's there, it is written, from the beginning of the year, etc. So that's only possible with all the desires, the kelim called Yashar Kel, that the Creator gives them the divine part from above, they yearn, they got this yearning, innate yearning, they have this tendency to attain godliness, and they all connect as one bundle. Is this clear? If it's not clear, immediately you can ask. This is clear. Good. Next. Our sages said, Israel will not be redeemed until they are all in one bundle.
So, everywhere.
Two, we must understand how Israel's unity relates to redemption.
We must understand how Israel's unity relates to redemption, meaning redemption. If you ask a person on the street, everyone will tell you what redemption is for them. Making $1 million on the lottery, going on vacation for half a year, anything and everything. Whereas the redemption we're talking about, these are people that yearn to unite, to adhere to the Creator, and redemption for them is that they rise above their egoistic intentions in order to receive, and all of us, by the intention in order to bestow, reach the Creator, and inside that intention, then they receive the so-called returning light, and inside that, they reveal the Creator, and they become the inopotsuv, then called the neshama, in which the upper light, called the or neshama, clothes, and they themselves, with their intention in order to bestow to the Creator, are called the kli of the neshama, the soul. And all that is based on the egoistic will to receive that develops and becomes ever more clear and evident in all the creatures. So, what follows is that the connection that is above the egoistic desire and the egoistic intention in order to receive, bestowing to the Creator, this is the goal that we wish to reach. And when we reach that, we determine that this is the end of our correction. And then this form is called the form of redemption. meaning that we wish to reach a state where all of us are connected and the Creator dwells in us.
Three. First, we should consider the matter of by what will I know, etc., for your seed will be a stranger, etc., and afterward they will come out with great substance. It's not clear how this is an answer to Abraham's question.
Yeah, because Abraham is the one who discovered the entire method of correction atop the entire aviyut that was disclosed in ancient Babylon, meaning in the great big human society that back then went through a serious shattering. What we call the confusion of tongues, that people stopped understanding each other, that their ego grew so much. And then Abraham, when he understood that it's necessary to rise above the egoistic desire, above the mutual hatred, then he did it on the very first degree, which became revealed in Babylon. But he saw that as a result, you don't really achieve adhesion with the Creator, real adhesion with the Creator, giving him contentment, that there is more to it, but how do you reach that more? And so he asked, how do we make it so that we truly get completely adhere to the Creator, the upper bestowing force? The upper force appears in the form of, as we learn, that the itlapshut, the clothing, is greater than the oviyut, the coarseness. Suppose that if I ascend from below up, the worlds are arranged so from top down that in my oviyut I have prina aleph, and besides that I achieve itlapshut bet. Not in practice, but in potential. And so I feel that there has to be more, but how more? I hear, I understand something, but to really understand, to really attain it, I can't. I don't have the mental capacity to do it. It's like sometimes we say that I have to tie these things together, especially when we study the wisdom of Kabbalah, but you have these discernments that this is how it's supposed to be, but you can't really do it yet. So Abraham felt something of the kind, and so he asked, how will I inherit? I mean, I feel there is a higher degree. How can I reach that higher degree? But I'm like a baby. I understand that there's something greater. I open my mouth, but nothing. So the Creator said, don't worry. I prepared also the left line for you, in order for you to acquire the vessels of reception by which you will be able to achieve everything that you should, so that eventually the upper light will clothe in those kelim. And so what it says, first we should consider the matter of by what will I know, etc., that there is something to inherit. Suppose there is light which is disclosed in prinat bet, in potential, but in practice I only have the first degree. So what do you do? So as it says, that for your seed will be a stranger, etc., meaning that you'll enter Oviyut Bet, you'll be inside there, you'll absorb this Oviyut, that this Oviyut will control you, and this absorption, it will maybe it'll be very unpleasant, because you'll get it in its raw form, as of Yud Bet, and then when you'll absorb it, then there will be a process in which you will be able to rise above it, control it, and from it controlling you, called Pharaoh controlling you, for you to control him. So then you have to get out of him, acquire the force of Torah, the reforming light, and with that light you'll start working on that of Yud Bet, suppose, which you have acquired. Not that you acquired, but that controls you. Then you'll start controlling it. And this is how every time this process will come and go, and comes a new Oviut, which is called the descent, and by drawing the reforming light, called the Torah, you process this Oviut, and this is how you advance. That's called that you come out with great substance, meaning that the Aviut, which you have acquired, is considered great, because by it you can receive the light of Chochmah, that's considered great. And still, Baal HaSulam says, it is not clear how this is an answer to Abraham's question, meaning, if I want to advance, why do I have to go into the burdening of the heart every time? Meaning, I suppose that the Aviut is supposed to come, and that I'll get new revelations in it, rise more, and so on, but why? On the way, when I want to adhere to the Creator, I'm being thrown back. Why should I be thrown back? I want to be connected to you all the time. The Aviut will come, and I'll be connected. I'll come, and I'll be connected. For it to come, prepared in some way. Why does it have to control me every time? And so, on each and every step, I fall into the left, I have to rise to the right again, and so on and so forth. Meaning, not only regarding the Egyptian exile, but each and every time that we're in that. Item 4.
Item 4. We should understand the whole matter of this creation in which man suffers so. Why is it for? What is it for? Could he have not delighted his creations without all that?
Meaning the same question again. Why? Is the path so unclear? Why do I have to be under the dominion of the ego? I don't want to relate it to myself. I don't want to connect with Pharaoh that much that he is in control of me, and I completely lose my senses, my grip, everything, that I forget about spirituality altogether. That it's really interesting how the way we're under this kind of control. Suppose now we're under control, but we are under its control, but we don't feel that the evil inclination is in control of us. And look how cunningly it's done. And I don't have the ability to resist it in any way or determine something, but it's in control. And so I keep things without asking. I feel comfortable keeping these things. The control is very cunning. It's simply a kind of it hypnotizes you. That we don't even understand. Later, we gradually acquire the understanding to the extent to which the reforming light shines on us. Then, in that light that shines on us, we start differentiating that we're under the control of the evil, the ego, the desire, and it is in control. And afterwards, we reach the two lines, so I can do it this way or that way, and then I maybe determine what will I do it by. These are already great revelations that a person stands on his feet, starts bestowing. But actually, actually, the dominion of the evil inclination is very cunning. And we see how we agree with it. We don't feel that it's some kind of a foreign force, but we feel it as if I want it. It's really a wonder. Try and explain to a stranger that there is some kind of a spirit operating in him that's directing him and each and every moment in life, controlling his desires, thoughts, actions. He won't believe you. He really has to see it maybe through some special kind of X-ray to see how this force from above comes upon him, clothes on him, and he performs all the different actions in mind and heart and intention and body and everything, that this force controls him completely.
אנחנו בדלת, כן?
4, right?
כבר ב-A.
5.
אז זו בעיה. כן?
So this is a problem. It is written in the books that the souls cannot receive the good reward for which he has created the world and the souls if they do not have a vessel ready to receive. And the only way one can obtain that vessel is through labor and toil in observing the mitzvot, through the pressure and the struggles that one fights with the evil inclination and the numerous preventions and troubles. These afflictions and labor and Torah and mitzvot provide a vessel for the soul so it may be fit to receive all the delight and pleasure for which he has created all creations. Meaning that we have to, for some reason, isn't exactly clear why, have to go through the hard period of the work and the labor and the exertion, and only by that. And it's hard for us to understand at the moment why can't the Creator give it to us without that, because He is Almighty. But precisely through hard labor, we acquire certain discernments, new kelim, a new attitude, as if our exertion gives birth to something that the Creator Himself cannot beget. So this is a big question, which is actually a claim. It is the basic argument, our basic argument against the Creator, right, Zvika?
Yeah, I'm telling me, you're talking about inheritance, he writes about inheritance, and I want to get an inheritance, you know, give me money, give me an inheritance, forget about all this nonsense, give me inheritance.
Heritage, it's from whom?
From your grandma. No. House, something.
So wait a moment, then probably someone did bother.
Did bother, maybe. I don't see it at the moment.
You don't see it for sure. It comes to you from the previous generation.
Now, you come to a state when you say, I don't want the good, neither the bad, as a result of life. If this is life, I don't want it. Thank you very much. But so I'm asking myself, what kind of inheritance? You're talking about inheritance all the time. And you're talking about jumping in the walls of Jerusalem with happiness. I don't see that. And we're talking about this country as if everyone's united. Who's united? It's all of the upside down.
Wait a second. You're confusing many disciplines. We're not talking about the country and what's going on now, and that you want to dance on the walls. On the walls of Jerusalem.
They say Rabbi Akiva jumped on the walls of Jerusalem.
No, but we're talking about what the Creator prepared for people, not related to certain times or occurrences.
Inheritance we do not see.
The inheritance exists. The end of correction is there. Only the only thing is, how do we reach it? By what way? So, heritage. It's not that now it'll be given to you under the conditions that you want. Suppose my grandpa left me $1 billion. Something. Even in our times, it's something. But on condition. On condition that if I will not do drugs and will not spend it in such and such ways for me to use it, suppose, for education. So he gave me these $1 billion for me to spend them, but only the way I want, but only for educational purposes. That's also considered an inheritance. It's also inheritance, but conditional. It's not that, okay, I got it, grandma, be well, that's it. Usually that's what you do. So we have to understand that inheritance is inheritance, and this final state exists, but for you to receive it in order for you to use it correctly, because it's possible that now you'll take this sum and buy pot for the entire, for all the money, you'll buy marijuana. So, they understand who and what you are. They understand that this kind of money can drive you crazy. So suppose every day they're gonna give you $1,000. It's also good. Also good. Good for you. But I, that wanna build some worldwide factory, for me it's not good. So, inheritance always comes on condition. It's not true what you're saying. It's always conditional. And therefore it says in the books that the souls cannot receive the good reward for which he has created the world and the souls if they do not have the vessels ready to receive. So first of all, we're talking about the reward. It's not a present. Without having a ready vessel to receive. And the only way one can obtain that vessel is through labor and toil and observing the mitzvot, meaning correctly using the money, through the pressure and the struggles that one fights with the evil inclination and the numerous preventions and troubles, meaning grandpa, who prepared this inheritance for me, he's very cunning. He wants to teach me how to correctly use it, and look what he prepared on the way. Preventions and troubles and problems where the affliction and labor and Torah and mitzvot, meaning what I have to do on the way in order to grab hold of that inheritance, and it won't work. Provide a vessel for the soul, meaning that I already come with a new mind and heart so it may be fit to receive all the delight and pleasure for which he has created all creations, meaning I approach it with a new mind, with a new heart. I already understand what's really good and not what you thought is good at the beginning of the path. At the beginning of the path, what I thought about the inheritance is not at all what I will receive in the end. So let's put it this way, that if in the beginning of the path I thought about $1 billion, then at the end of the path, I get the opportunity to bestow to everyone and to give it out to everyone and for no one to know about me anything, but only to give it out and also not to derive pleasure from giving it out, but by that I delight the grandpa who left it for me. So what did I suffer for? In order to realize what he wanted. What do I have as a result? God forbid, nothing. Actually, nothing. So why did I do it all for?
So now, really, how do you expect me to believe such a thing?
No, not to believe. I'm telling you the truth. You want it, please. You don't go home.
That's a whole story for the whole world. That's not only me and you.
if the world will have no choice, because the Creator, He paved this path. We have nothing to hide, nothing. The wisdom of Kabbalah has to be revealed. Everywhere it says, Lishma, above reason, against the ego, this, that. We have no choice. We have to disclose these things in their true form. What do you want? Either the blows will educate us. We, by way of education, have to educate ourselves to a state where we will receive. We can't even imagine what there is, but all of it is in order to give it out to others, because anything that you can imagine, depict, describe, it is all disclosed in your kli, and you need for all of it to be in order to bestow. And you enjoy it coming through you without leaving you nothing, but for everyone.
What I see is that there's an accelerated path. We do such a great work with the congresses. Now we're having a congress. Now I'm asking myself, He's the Almighty. So why don't we get some push from Him to reach the fine correction? Why do we have to exert so much? We see it's the opposite path.
In order to turn your vessels of reception into vessels of bestowal.
It's all the opposite. Everything's right. The opposite. Whatever you see today, it's all the opposite.
And it's much more opposite than you really think. Much more opposite.
So how do we flip it back?
It's not that you give out and derive some pleasure from it, but really, above all the disconnections that we think about. Once I talked to this elderly lady in St. Petersburg, when I was still young, so she said that during the revolution in Russia in 1917, 100 years ago, so she said, we stood at the railway station where soldiers were taken to the front, to the front lines, to the front. And I was given this kind of basket to give out buns. She says, I didn't eat today, nor yesterday, nor maybe even a day before. But the thought that I can take a piece of bread from there for myself did not cross my mind. Only for others, all the time. So I asked her, what held you? What kept you? The idea, the force. I couldn't. I didn't look at it as if it could belong to me. And of course that this comes as a result of the great big egoistic desire. So here we're talking about a completely different desire, which is much more than that. There you have some kind of payment. We'll win, we'll defeat, we'll this, we'll that. Here we have to reach a state where you have no justification for what you receive in your vessels of reception and in the vessels of bestowal. That's called not in order to receive a prize. But one way or another, it's a lengthy path throughout which you perform the Torah and Mitzvot in order to achieve that. Item 6. Any questions? No. It's all clear. Good.
6. Now we can understand the words of Ben Hehe in the Mishnah Avot, who said, the reward matches the sorrow, meaning that the reward is measured by the amount of sorrow. This is perplexing, for how is one's sorrow related to one's reward?
Again.
Now we can understand the words of Ben Hehe in the Mishnah Avot, who said, the reward matches the sorrow.
Meaning, according to your exertion, is the reward? What exertion? I exert myself so much, and eventually the reward is what? That I won't demand anything for myself.
Meaning that the reward is measured by the amount of sorrow. This is perplexing, for how is one's sorrow related to one's reward?
And in general, we see that people, they go study hard, then they get some good position, meaning there's some kind of connection between the reward and the exertion. But here, it's unclear.
7. With the above said, we can thoroughly understand that all the sorrow and labor that have been prepared in the world are to provide a vessel to receive with a good reward for labor in Torah and Mitzvot. Thus, naturally, the greater one's sorrow in Torah and Mitzvot, the greater is one's vessel for reception of a greater reward.
Meaning that here we're talking about something completely different. That we correct ourselves and suddenly we reach a state where the reward that we thought about at first is not the same reward that we receive in the end. We prepare ourselves for a different kind of reward, meaning our kli changes. Because all in all, what we do in our world is we pay for that which we'll get later. But here? No. Here you have something ready. You're now in the world of En Sof already. You're in the light of En Sof already. No problem. Only you don't feel it. You don't feel that you lack the kelim. And so, the only thing that we need is kelim. That's why all our work is in creating the kli. Meaning we get an answer on the spot. Because all in all, we have the light of En Sof in which we are. Only that we have to discover it through the kelim that we achieve through this bother and exertion. And the bother and exertion is the future kli. You read 7? Again.
Again, 7. With the above said, we can thoroughly understand that all the sorrow and labor that have been prepared in the world are to provide the vessel to receive with a good reward for labor in Torah and Mitzvot. Thus, naturally, the greater one's sorrow in Torah and Mitzvot, the greater is one's vessel for reception of a greater reward.
Therefore, we're in a world in which there are many people that are experiencing many problems, each in particular, and all of them together, and we're constantly scrutinizing what is the correct kli for the reception of the endless pleasure. This is what we're engaged in. The entire world is, even though that it's hidden from us, and we think that we're trying to catch the different pleasures of this world, but it's not so. Each and every moment we're scrutinizing like ants. The kelim, the real kelim, meaning to decide what is truly worthwhile receiving. Questions?
Why Why is actually, is it good to know the truth in the first stages of the study? When we don't yet reach anything, we have no reward yet, and we still have to work. Why is it good to know right now and not later?
In order to shorten the path, to straighten the path out, to start working consciously, and align ourselves in one line with the purpose of creation, meaning the fact that I do not receive the reward, I can't receive it with my own intellect. It helps me ask, what kelim can I receive it with? What helps me? Feel that tremendous reward that exists, only I don't see it. It's like today, you have these kind of glasses that you put them on and you start seeing things around you that you didn't see before. There is such a thing. Suppose it's like x-rays, x-ray glasses. Suppose next to me there is a sack with golden coins next to me, and I didn't see it before. No one did. And I put on these glasses. I put the glasses on my nose. I look, and boom, a big sack with golden coins. Meaning we don't see what's next to us. We don't see what we have in life. There's no difference between this world and the next at all. Besides what it says, the Shi'abud Malchuyot, meaning that the only thing that changes is the dominion. And suddenly we see that the dominion, the control over us changes, that previously what controlled us was the angel of death, Pharaoh, and so on. And now what controls us is the upper force. And when it controls me, I see, like, with x-ray glasses, what I didn't see before and what I saw before, I no longer see. Like we see on ourselves, that from one day to the next, we can be completely different. We can completely change. Suddenly I see that, oh, it's not really like that, and it's actually like this, and so on. In short, as a result, the control over us changes, and in that place where the righteous position themselves now, previously the wicked have to fail.
Thank you, Rav. Today we were together with tens on duty from South Russia, Rehovot and Petah Tikva 10 number 13. We would like to express our gratitude to you, Rav, to entire World Kui for today's lesson. And we truly felt that the scrutiny of this topic help us to enter Kiev Convention in a more prepared way. And during the lesson, we felt this power and really felt what the covenant is. And now I'd like to pass the mic to our friends from Rehovot for the daily task.
We join Toronto's gratitude and the privilege to be in the front of the intentions of the work. We had such a special day of preparation, and we're going to added to the daily task. From the center of the tenant duty, our task today is to reach a state where keeping the covenant in the tent will be felt as pleasure, not as a bother. Every friend in the tent has to identify a state that he doesn't have the force to help others, but he uses the tent to rise above this state. Again, during the day we should reach a state that keeping the covenant in the tent will be felt as pleasure, not as a bother. Every friend in the tent should find a state that he has no force to care for others, but he is using the tent and the Creator to rise above this state.
So we'll try and keep this daily task.
In these days, we're having a very special event, and I'm so excited no matter how many times I'm taking part of it. I'm talking about the lectures we are having all over Israel. And many times before we attend and feel this wonderful evening, including some food and rings and a great lecture, it's not yet clear if you should do it, you should come or not come. And after you do, your eyes are shining and you see you receive so much, even if it's a short lecture, less than an hour. Now, the question is, when a person watching us right now, he's debating, should I come or shouldn't I? Even just to be impressed of this, what can help to relate to him so that he can take this one step, come closer to us?
I understand that it's hard for a person to move, especially to come to some lecture event that he's not used to. It's not a club or a pub or something that... It's something special, it's unique. First of all, you have to show him where is it happening, clips and so on, where can he find an explanation about it, and to explain that these are things that he will not hear about in any other place. Things about how to control your life, things that you can't buy in a supermarket or anywhere else, but things about the essence of life, about how to eventually feel good in life. This is the wisdom of Kabbalah. Kabbalah from the word to receive, meaning how to receive the real good in life. We're not talking about becoming religious or about some kind of big bother or something. You can come, listen, you can leave in the middle if you want. It's not something that's obligating, and therefore I truly recommend. I dedicated my entire life to it, so of course it's very, very important for me. But I think that it's important for everyone. In our times that the world is in such turmoil, in order to know what's going on, how to control, how to find work, how to rest, how to raise your children, how to keep the family together, how to keep yourself, protect yourself, have to control your destiny even a bit. The wisdom of Kabbalah gives us all of that. At times that the world has no means to deal with it or can promise anything. So it's good for everyone to come and to really know how do I change my destiny. Yes.
Yeah, so we're really inviting everyone to go into our website, Kabbalah Lam, and to come to this evening close to their homes and they can reveal what's really good in life.
So, that's it? Okay.
An announcement. Tonight, you're all invited to watch the Zohar lesson live with Rav Lightman at 6:30. Thank you very much to all our TV viewers. Have a good day. We're all as one. The Worldwide Kabbalah Congress in Kiev, Ukraine. Friends, viewers from all over the world, you're all invited to our Worldwide Kabbalah Congress on March 24th through 26th in Kiev, Ukraine. For details, go to our website, Svivatova. Welcome to the world of Kabbalah. Kabbalah College is happy to invite you to a lecture about the wisdom of Kabbalah this week all over Israel. Admission is free. For details, 1-700-509-209 or in our website, kab.co.il. Song.
בשדה קוצים גדול, קורא אני בקול, תפילת הלב אל המרום. עד ינוסו הצללים מבין הערפילים, עם שחר רק יצמח החלום. את החי מבקש אני, הם חיי, הם נשמתי, בלעדיהם אני לא קיים. את החי מבקש אני, הם חיי, הם נשמתי, בלעדיהם אני לא קיים. עמוק בתוך הלב את החי סוחב, ובתוכי בוער כלהבה.
עבדו עקבות אבל רוחות טובות יובילו אל ים האהבה.